Welcome, welcome, and thank you for listening to today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast. It's your host, Memes. We're about to jump right into this one, because honestly, if you read the title of this one, you press play anyway. I applaud you for making it this far. You got nerves of steel, because as you can tell by the title, this got a little bit of sense of what's going on here. This is not going to be a fun episode. It's not going to be a fun retrospect if you cheer for Auburn, because this is one of the biggest thorns in Auburn's side. It's been like this for almost 20 years. So we're going to have to jump right into this one and take a look back at why and how this rivalry to Georgia has become so lopsided in recent history. But let's go back to the very beginning here. The very first matchup between these two, Auburn's first football game ever, strangely enough, was in February of 1892. These teams have played each other 127 times going into their 128th matchup this year. The series, Georgia leads, sadly, 63-56 with eight ties. So up until 2015, this series was Auburn's. Auburn had led this series for probably most of the lives, not all the lives, for a good bit of the listeners of this show right now. Up until that year, 2015, is when that pendulum shifted. Georgia got the win, and with one little slide in there for Auburn, it's been Georgia's way ever since. If you go back 20 years from right now, which is probably an average of most of the ages of the guys on the football team, Auburn has only won this game five times. So that means out of the age of most collegiate football players, they have only seen this game won by Auburn five times. And I don't know if games where they were in diapers during the Tuberville years really would have counted. So this is one that's got a tough look back for us here. And really, just from the stretch, especially from 2006 all the way to this year in 2023, Auburn has only won that game three of those times. And if you look back in the series, even going back to the olden days of football, there's never really been a stretch where Auburn has just had that much dominance, really, unless you go back to the 50s through the 60s. And a little bit in the 80s. Pat Dye did his fair share of beating up on Georgia. But really, Tuberville let the reins go. And this is where we're going to really break down, where did this start to go bad for Auburn? So there's a little bit of, a marquee like game that you circle here for where this went sour. For those old enough to remember, I'm sorry to bring this game up. For those who are too young, ignorance is bliss. Don't go rewatch this game under any circumstances. But that 2007 blackout game, the first blackout Georgia had done, did Auburn in. That game ended up being 45-20. If you watched that game, it really felt like it was about 85-3. It was a ranked matchup in Athens, number 10 Georgia versus number 18 Auburn. So you had a top 20 matchup, a lot of hype around this game. Of course, it's in Athens, so that's never a fun time. It was a night game, and I will never forget when Georgia came running out of those tunnels in those black jerseys. It was probably one of the most electric atmospheres. This team was ready, because even if we go back in recent years too, this is still a time, even we talked about the 80s of Pat Dye beating up in Auburn, but even in the late 90s and early 2000s, Tuberville had some, you know, he'd bully George around a little bit. He'd have some pretty chippy games with him and get some dubs on him. And honestly, for the most part, Auburn did not have any trouble winning in Athens. It was probably the toughest game of any quarterback I've ever seen at Auburn, just from a pure, just like getting beat around, was that Brandon Cox game in 2005. Probably one of the best like Auburn games in history. That's like not your regular season games. It was a number 9 Georgia versus 15 Auburn in Athens, another top 20 matchup there. And that game was just a slugfest, hot, high-powered defense, high-powered offense, hard-hitting defense, special teams. That game literally had the whole package, came down to the wire. Great game. That's an Auburn classic that I don't think enough people talk about. Really good one there. Then you look at 2006, and you can kind of make the argument here because of what this game meant to 2006, but not a lot of people remember just how good that 2006 team was. I mean, obviously everybody remembers 04. You have that nice run of 04, of course, everybody remembers that. But 05, Auburn, pretty good team in 05 as well. You had a high-powered offense still going on with the Borges tenure. Brandon Cox was putting up really, really good numbers. And honestly, the sad part about that 05 year is you don't have that hiccup to Georgia Tech, just Brandon Cox's first start where he throws four picks. Rough game. Hated watching that one. The loss to LSU, I mean, that team would have won out every single game that regular season. You really seemingly would have beaten Georgia Tech 9 out of 10 other times had you played them. It was just first game of a new start and did not go Auburn's way. Then, of course, you have a tough loss to a very highly ranked LSU. So, why I say all this? Auburn is still riding that success of 2004 very, very well. One of the few times you can really say that Auburn has been good back-to-back-to-back years, something that we've talked about before and we'll continue to talk about again, or something that has plagued Auburn in recent history. But what we got to focus on is the 2006 year, because as we've mentioned, Auburn took care of business in Athens in 2005. So, we're on to 2006. And of course, you know, 04. Of course, Auburn's undefeated. They beat Georgia in 04. Haha, sucks to be Georgia. That year, at least. Hadn't been so bad lately, sadly. But here we are. Auburn, at this point, as coming in very strong, 2006. They have the infamous Arkansas game. That was when Auburn got Malzahn. That was when Darren McFadden really should have had his one of his many marquee Heisman moments for that season. Still think he got robbed of that for that particular season. And Arkansas came out of nowhere, unranked, number two Auburn at the time. It just socked Auburn right in the jaw. Then, of course, a potentially defeated tail between the legs, Auburn comes back and then beats now number two Florida in another very famous Auburn win there. And then seems to get the momentum back and, you know, claw their way back into the top 10 to where they meet Georgia. At home, ranked number five, and Georgia is unranked for this game. So seemingly, well, what can go wrong there? Georgia wins this game 37-15, beats the brakes off of Auburn. Auburn at the time is really controlling their own destiny for the SEC. It seemed like a shoo-in that they would probably get it. And like I said, being ranked number five that year, there was definitely national championship implications there. And of course, as we all know, very famously, I guess it was last game, sorry, 2005, the famously. 2006 was still just a feel-good one. Auburn does take care of an unranked Alabama in Tuscaloosa that year and then goes and beats Nebraska in the bowl game. But I digress. Georgia took the sails away from Auburn in that 06 game. And then, of course, they come back in 2007, beat the absolute brakes off of Auburn, 45-20, top 20 matchup in Athens with the blackout game. So what happens after that? As we kind of look back, there's two in a row for Georgia, home and away, doesn't matter. Then, of course, we have the 08 season where everything comes apart for Auburn. That one was, strangely enough, close, because not many people remember this back then, but Auburn actually had a really, really good defense in 2008. And the crazier part about that, too, that is a none other than a Super Bowl ring-wearing Matthew Stafford-led Georgia team with NoShawn Marino at running back. The crazy part about this team, obviously they came into that season, that 08 season after a strong 07 series, is that Georgia team had weapons from a personnel standpoint, arguably probably one of the better teams Mark Richt ever had while he was there. Still crazy the fact that that team ended up falling short of the potential that they had. And going back to the karma of what Georgia did to Auburn in 2006, a very kind of similar reverse situation happened to Georgia in 08. So we remember the blackout jerseys. Well, Georgia comes out, they get the blackout jerseys, and they just defeated Auburn's soul that night. Mind who? Well, they thought it would be cute, and I will say I will never pay Alabama any sort of compliment, but if there was any one thing that Alabama's ever done that I got to give them a little, like, minor props for, is Georgia wears those stupid jerseys. They play Alabama at home in 2008, and this was a number 8 ranked Alabama. This is kind of when the dynasty was starting to build. This was the bubblings up of the cauldron here. Alabama just beats the brakes off of them. 41-30. It was a little garbage time touchdown. That game was nowhere near as close as that score would have reflected. Alabama was playing with their food that entirety. And then the blackout jerseys went away for quite a number of years afterward. This is important. We'll bring that up later. And then Florida beats Georgia with a just absolute gut-wrenching blowout of 49-10. And then we get to Auburn. So reason that's all retrospectively important is because now Georgia is not necessarily playing for anything. The talent, the potential, the hopes of that are all gone. But what do we have here is a game that inevitably will end 13-17 within 4 points going into the fourth quarter to Georgia. So while I highlighted that game a little bit, we will kind of reference that a little bit later as we do a little bit more of a retro perspective of this, because it is a little bit of a microcosm of the grand scheme. So we're going to kind of fast forward through a few other ones. You have an unranked matchup in 09 that is 31 Georgia, Auburn 24. Of course, the national championship, the Nick Fairley game, Aaron Murray's mother, who was livid on Facebook. Auburn won that one to nobody's surprise. And probably another really underrated, probably forgotten about by most, not by me, was that 2011 game. Auburn was ranked 24. Just kind of barely managed to scrape in the rankings. It was still kind of a 2011 is a very strange season for Auburn. Georgia was 14, and that was around the time of, you know, is Mark Richt going to be able to get over the hump? Hint, he didn't. Georgia beat the brakes off Auburn 45-7, one of the worst beatings that Georgia has given to Auburn in this modern era of the rivalry. And then, of course, in 2012, 38-0, but that was 2012 Auburn. We kind of know the story there. And if you don't know the story of 2013 Auburn, I don't think that's true, because you wouldn't be listening to this podcast if you did. So even there, with a little bit of a stint of Georgia chipping a few away at the end of the Tuberville years through some rough patches, Auburn's kind of managed to scrape it back with some. So it has not gone completely off the rails yet, but it's getting pretty close. Then we go to 2014, which is another one that Auburn had no business losing. This was one in Athens. Let me phrase it. Business not being competitive. And this is where I want to get to where the rivalry really starts to derail for Auburn. Because what really starts to happen here, and I think 2014 is a perfect example of this. This was a 16-ranked Georgia to number 9-ranked Auburn. We remember this Auburn team's struggle that year was defense, not offense. That was a high-powered offense. Nick Marshall and team, they had it. They were those guys. This team puts up, nearly 40-plus points on Alabama weeks later, but can only put 7 on Georgia in Athens? That is what it was. It was just, for whatever reason, it was like this blackout curse has started to loom over Auburn, to where you have these games that seemingly should be in Auburn's way one way or another, and just, for whatever reason, just throw everything you know out the window. And then something like this happened. So what point where it is here for Auburn is try to get the momentum back for you. You got in 2015 and 2016, you've got two Georgia teams that are not really that great. This is before the beast that is Georgia today really started to take shape. So there's going to be some low-hanging fruit to chip away at this series. This would be a great time. Well, 2015 was not a fantastic Auburn team. That is when Shaun White was injured that game. You have Jeremy Johnson going in there. Kind of know how that story ended up going. In all honesty, in his defense, Jeremy Johnson didn't play a horrific game. Wasn't great, but he definitely had worse. But kind of the story to that, nothing could really get going. And honestly, if you look at this, this was kind of an ugly game on both sides. But with it being at home in Auburn, should Auburn have probably been able to get this one? Yeah, I mean, the final score was 20-13. So it was a one-score game, and that was really going into the fourth quarter. Moving to 2016, and this is a real big pain point game for a lot of people, because at the time, Auburn was actually ranked number 8, crazy enough. And it's in Athens, and this is one of those deals, let's remind everybody, you have not won in Athens since Brandon Cox in 2005. Now, that still remains true to this day. Another big pain point, almost at 20 years. So that's getting on up there with the Baton Rouge situation up until Brian Harsin's heroic victory down there. That was the guy. And this is honestly one of the big kind of thorn nail in Gus's. I said thorn. Funny. One of the nails in Gus's coffin was this game, because that was the game where Sean White could not get anything in the air. They only got one touchdown the first quarter, and the offense was anemic. And that was really this and the Clemson game earlier that season where people were really starting to scratch their head and say, is Gus really an offensive guru? What's going on here? Because like I said, Georgia really shouldn't have been that good to make Auburn completely stall out an unranked Georgia at the team and say Auburn was ranked number 8. And that was the carry on, run the ball with carry on. They wouldn't give the ball to carry on, decided to pass and pass and pass and just these three and outs. And that was one of those very ugly games. You sit there and say, wow, Gus, you could have won that 20 times over. I have never even coached a game of peewee football. I probably could have called that game better. How the heck did we let that one get through our fingers? So, of course, the frustration is starting to mound with it at that point. And as we forementioned too, this is the tiebreaker point. Oh, Georgia has been chipping away at that series leads Auburn had. It's tied up. Now Georgia officially has got the series pendulum shifted in their favor. Big momentum shift. Well, what does Auburn do the next year? Of course, that is when Jarrett Stidham shows up in his crown. Georgia comes into Jordan-Hare ranked number 1. Auburn's ranked number 10. We know how this game went. Beat the absolute brakes off Georgia. One of the very few games where the score was actually worse. Even though it was 40-17, the score was worse than it looked. It literally felt like Auburn won this game 80-0. Georgia had no answers. Auburn was playing with their food. That was probably the only real good feel-good moment top to bottom in this series for Auburn in quite some time. And I'm not including 2013 in there, because in all honesty, Auburn was beating Georgia really strongly in 2013 too, and let Georgia come back toward the end. This has kind of been a theme for Auburn a lot of these games, of either you let it go, or you could have done a very small amount of few things and you just let Georgia get back into it. So, why? What it is? Is the blackout curse real? We don't know. Well, going forward there, you play him again in Atlanta. You have Kerryon Johnson hurt. We know how that one goes. Don't want to think about that one too much. So a team that you seemingly beat the brakes off of, you come and then only can score a touchdown on them while they score 28. Essentially a home game for Georgia, but I digress. Not a fun one. You go to 2018 in Athens, another one, barely a top 25 matchup. That was a number 5 ranked Georgia. This is when the Kirby Smart train is really starting to take off. The what is now the Georgia, can we call it a dynasty? Maybe. It's getting pretty close. And then you get to the 2019 game. I was at this game. Brutal one. Georgia just chipping away at Auburn. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown each of the three quarters. Of course, Auburn is just stalling out, stalling out, stalling out. Once again, another kind of thorn. I keep saying thorn, a nail. I'm too consumed with this season right now. Another nail in that Gus Malzahn coffin. Another deal of stagnation. Offense, your defense doing enough to keep you in the game. And then somehow, some way, the play calling opens up. The lights shine down. Auburn throws 14 points up out of nowhere and is driving down to potentially make this a tie game. Go to overtime. Is this going to be one of those miracle games? Is this going to be one of those memorable games that you just never forget? Auburn came back and beat Georgia. Oh, no, of course not. They end up blowing it in the fourth quarter. Georgia wins this one 21-14. And then 2020, that was another bloodbath game. That was some of the worst offensive lining I've really seen out of Auburn. I remember that was when I was raising the red flag of just like, okay, there's no saving that to me. I will probably say might have been the floor of the worst I've seen of Auburn's offensive line that game. I don't think it could have been much worse. It wasn't the fact that there was no blocking that game. Like, it was like I'm attempting to block and getting beat. I mean, they were just guys that were just standing there and letting guys run by them. It was insane. Don't rewatch that game, whatever you do. And then there was the Brian Harsin Georgia game. We don't need to really talk about that one, nor do we need to talk about Brian Harsin's performance against Georgia the year prior. So looking back at this all in retrospect here, what it is that makes this game and series great, minus the recent years that it has been quite one-sided. But kind of looking back, you see some things in there to where they were good teams, good Georgia teams that lost to bad Auburn teams and vice versa. They were games that Georgia had it and let it go. Not so many, unfortunately. And there were unfortunately more Auburn games or Auburn teams that did that with Georgia. And sometimes it was closer than it should have been. That made really no sense. The home opponent was doing worse than the away opponent. All the things that really make a true rivalry game great, because you don't really know what's going to happen in any given moment. The rankings don't really dictate what's going to happen. And the way you think the game's going to break down doesn't really go that way either. Sadly, for Auburn's case, theme for this episode, a lot of those have kind of been on the sour way for them. It was the sad, unfortunate turn some of those games go. And that has kind of been a theme for Auburn in the last, we'll say, 20-ish years, for why in the world would they keep laying an egg or just doing something stupid or just not getting anything going with Georgia. This is one thing that I think a lot of folks are hoping that Hugh Freeze and staff can change. Definitely wasn't going to be Brian Harsin, and this by far was Gus Malzahn's kryptonite, that and postseason bowl games. So the tough question right now, and really tough given the circumstances, because, well, in recent years, the Kirby Smart thing has been a big problem for Auburn. What he's been able to build at Athens, it's kind of made it a little tough. It's made that game a lot more one-sided, even though when they were a little bit more equally matched, Auburn still find a way to lay an egg. Now it was just, well, we're facing a juggernaut now, and we're still going to find a way to lay an egg. So what is it really going to take to kind of shift this back to make it a little bit more balanced, make these games 50-50 again? And, well, there's a few unique situations here that Auburn has going for and against them, depending on how you look at it. Auburn and Georgia, pretty close in proximity. They share very ripe recruiting grounds in all sports. Georgia is a very ripe state for recruiting. Auburn's right there on the edge of Georgia, so a lot of these guys are guys that they're battling with all year round, not just on the football field, but on the in the trenches of recruiting. Is that a good way to put it? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So that is what's been happening. Well, we know what Kirby Smart's been doing recruiting-wise, and we know what Brian Harsin didn't do recruiting-wise. So I don't think I need to go too in-depth an explanation to say why that had not really been going Auburn's favor. You see a lot of recruiting battles that really weren't battles anymore. It was more of just, oh yeah, I'm going to Georgia. And I talked to some Auburn people. I may have paid a visit. But really, they weren't super competitive. And if they were, it was guys that were very, very, very low on Georgia's board. Not up until this year had Auburn really had a major flip from Georgia. And before that, if memory serves, like major flip or major, I guess, recruiting win over Georgia might have been all the way back in Derrick Brown. And I think that one aged pretty well for Auburn. And it also goes to show that Georgia's got an eye for talent, because that Derrick Brown from Sugar Hill, Georgia, about 45 minutes north of Atlanta. That's a local guy. He's not too far from Athens. And like I said, we know how well his play turned out for Auburn. And not that, you know, Kirby Smart was in too rough of waters during those years either, but that would have been a player he most definitely would have liked to have had. So going to be kind of a broken record with this point, but how to kind of get this battle back to a more neutral side starting right now, not literally Saturday right now, but maybe like the weeks after, is going to be winning the recruiting battles against Georgia. Start fighting back and gaining some territory in those trenches up in Georgia. And of course, this weekend too, they're seeing the hype and the coverage about it. This is going to be a huge recruiting weekend. There's going to be tons of guys. They were even nervous that they weren't going to have enough tickets to give to everybody. You have to turn people away. So many big, high-profile players wanted to come to this game. Well, what does that mean for Auburn and the fans and the staff and just everybody making the experience? Well, I think it goes as safe to say that the probability of Auburn winning this game is not great. But that doesn't mean you can't win the day. Now, what does that mean? Seems kind of like an oxymoron there. Well, it's kind of losing the battle to win the war. Well, if those recruits come in there and they see this electric atmosphere, they resonate with the staff, the players, they just kind of resonate with Auburn. They fall in love with Auburn, and you get some of those guys that say, wow, like this is a place I really want to be, and that might help you swing some of those guys. That's what it's going to take. Win or lose, yes, it matters. Like, it doesn't hurt if you win, obviously, but a lot of people think recruiting from like the recruit's eyes is solely just based upon rather you win or lose the game. Up. So Team X lost the game. Recruit is no longer interested. Well, recruits see things completely different than how fans do. And I don't want to get too much into the recruiting psyche. There's plenty of great guys out there who cover recruiting and specifically Auburn recruiting, and they talk about this stuff all the time. Go check them out. But generally speaking, the guys are really looking at games like this saying, wow, I want to be out there. Oh, I can get playing time. Ooh, I want to be the guy to turn this around. Like, I want to be the player that's got this crowd up on their feet in these stands, registering so much noise and activity. We got like Richter scales going off. That's what these guys are wanting to see. So the atmosphere can scale up like the A&M game last year. Like, Auburn was going in that game to like play to not lose the SEC, but the atmosphere is absolutely electric. So just because you don't necessarily win a game doesn't mean you can't have an electric atmosphere. Pack the house out, which for Georgia, it's going to be packed out. And of course, anything can happen. Georgia's looked a little shaky this year. They don't have Stetson Bennett. When I say shaky, shaky by Georgia standards in recent years. So I'm not going to go on the record to say as much. Georgia's most definitely beatable. But make the games exciting. Keep people on the edge of your seat, win or lose. Make the games competitive. I hate to kind of say it this way, but if it's going to be a loss, make Georgia earn every single play. Don't have it where we're kneeling the ball in the fourth. Make this one that is memorable. And here's the problem with Auburn. If you go back, the last time Auburn has scored more than 20 points in this game was going back to 2017. And they did it in 2013 as well as 2010. They scored in the 40s and all those. But the last time that Auburn has scored 20 points, over 20 points in a loss to Georgia was 2009. So that means Auburn has gone over a decade. And even before that, it was 2007. And then before that, it was, I guess in a loss, excuse me, we'll keep it going for a loss, 2002. So dating back to nearly 20 plus years, every time Auburn has lost to Georgia, it has been abysmal scoring. It has been under 20 points. Auburn has not had any shootout losses with Georgia's. It's been just keel over and dead. And on the contrast to that, Georgia has only scored, when games that Georgia has won, Georgia has always scored over 20 points, except in 2008 and 2016. So on the contrast there, Georgia is just beating the brakes off Auburn, and Auburn is struggling to score over 20 points when they lose. And the rare times they win, they will put some up there, but most of the time they're having to put up points because Georgia is as well. So I don't have time to crunch all this math, but Georgia has outscored Auburn immensely. I don't even want to calculate this number. I could. Maybe I will. I'm going to pause. Hold on 1 second. Okay, we're back and recording Time Machine. It seems like I was gone for just an instance, but I was back there spending quite some time calculating all this manually for you guys, the listeners. You heard a few seconds ago, I didn't want to do it. I changed my mind. I did it. And honestly, now in hindsight, I wish I hadn't done it. So there's a little bit margin of error here. I was crunching a bunch of numbers really quickly to try to not make the pause for you guys that was seemingly instant take as long as it did for me. But by my math, and this can be double checked, but I dated back 20 years starting in 2003, that Georgia has outscored Auburn in this game since then 607 to 357. You heard that right, 607 to 357. That means Georgia has scored 250 more points than Auburn. I would love, and I probably will for sake of this later on, compare this to some other SEC rivals of Auburn. I think that'd be really interesting to see how that looks with LSU, Alabama, maybe some other West schools sprinkled in there. But that is, I'm gonna go out on a limb and probably say that's going to be the worst, even, well, I guess definitely without, not worse than Alabama, because Auburn was dominating Alabama in those Tuberville years. But yeah, so I'm going to say this is probably the worst outscoring Auburn has seen. So needless to say, this is a problem. And I think we need to put this number on Hugh Freeze's desk and say, we got to emergency, turn this one around. Because when you crunch it up this way, it definitely seems a little bit worse when you look at it like that. But that's kind of the beauty of rivalries is when they shift back. So I know this is a game that is big for the players. Like I said, there's a lot of players on Auburn's team that are from Georgia, and you know this game means a lot to them. They grew up in the state. They know what Georgia fans are like. They probably have a lot of friends and family that are Georgia fans or an alumni. They where some of these guys were also recruited by Georgia. So this game means a lot. So don't think for a second that they don't have this one circled for their own reasons. So just got to help that the guys got to hope the guys come out there and play super competitive. I will say it is so strange that this game is in October. I'm a purist. I believe this game should be in November. Switch it back to get the series right with the home and the away alternating with Auburn and Alabama. Move it back to November. And let's get all things right in the world once we see all the shuffling of the SEC alignment. Well, that is going to wrap us up for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back at you after this game to talk about it. No matter what happens, good, bad, or ugly, we will be there. Make sure to check out the Auburn Daily on social media at Twitter at the Auburn Daily. You can also go to auburndaily.com to check out all of the content coming there. Well, we'll catch you guys next time. Thank you all for listening.